We start today in the governor's office. Maura Healey was inaugurated a month ago. So maybe you're curious. Curious about what's been on her calendar or whether she signed any contracts. Maybe you're wondering who she's been emailing or talking to. Totally fair questions. But you may or may not get access to any of those records. And that's because only Governor Maura Healey's office can decide what and how much you get to see. In Massachusetts, the governor's office claims exemption from the state's public records law. We're just one of two states where this is the case. Healey has pledged greater transparency in office, and she says this includes a lighter touch when it comes to releasing records. But last month, she said she would not introduce legislation to remove that claimed exemption from her office. Instead, she'd continue to look at public records requests on a case-by-case basis. In other words, just like past governors have. So here to talk more about the state's public records law and why it matters are two of our very own reporters who know this law like the back of their hands, Todd Wallach and Beth Healey. Both are investigative reporters with WBUR. Thank you both for joining us. It's nice to have you.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Beth, because I want just to get the simple question right off the bat. What are considered public records in Massachusetts? And give some examples of ones you've requested.
Well, public records can be anything from police records to the various agencies around the state where you might want to see things. You could ask for calendar records, emails. There are all kinds of things that are of interest to the public that we ask for stories.
And so, Todd, let me bring you in here. I want to hear some examples of public records requests that you've requested and have been denied.
So one request I personally made was text messages from the governor's office, and they denied me, saying they're exempt from the public records law. People have asked for meeting calendars, visitor logs, all sorts of records from the governor's office, and even lists of phone calls of what people are complaining about, whether it's the MBTA or something else. And the governor's office has said, no, we're exempt from the public records law.
So there's a lot there. And I also want to bring in another voice. We also have with us Justin Silverman. He's the executive director of the New England First Amendment Coalition. Justin, it's so nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So can I ask you, Massachusetts is the only state in the country where the state legislature, the state's highest court, the Supreme Judicial Court, and the governor's office claim exemption from the public records law. So why is it that some offices like Healey's can claim exemption and others can't?
Yeah, so there's a number of reasons. I should state right out of the gate that Massachusetts is one of only two states in the entire country where we have a governor that is either exempt from law or claiming exemption. So we are very much an outlier in this regard. Here in Massachusetts, the governor is citing a 1997 court case called Lambert. And this is a very brief, short opinion decided by the Supreme Judicial Court that dealt with a very specific document. It was a questionnaire submitted to what's called the Judicial Nominating Council. And in that case, the SJC said that this particular document and the counsel that was provided to, not subject to public records. It was a very narrow ruling, but one that every governor since 1997 has pointed to say that they are and their office is wholly exempt from the public records law. And that is the ruling, and that's the justification that Governor Healey and all of her predecessors have used to say that we're not going to provide you any of these records that you're requesting unless we choose to do so. We're under no obligation to do so.
So just to follow that up, the only way to really change that from a legal standpoint is to either have another Supreme Court case that overturns the one that you just mentioned or introduce legislation in the legislature.
Yeah, and I think the best solution would be to either change or clarify the law to make explicitly clear that the governor's office is subject to the public records law, because ultimately this isn't about Governor Healey. It's about all governors, past, present, future, making sure that we have the transparency we need within that office to know what our governors are doing, how they're crafting policy, why they're making the decisions that are being made, and to ultimately hold them accountable if they do something that's not in the public's interest.
Mm. Last year, Governor Healey told GBH that she wouldn't claim an exemption, and she would support legislation to at least cut back on whatever exemptions that was previously claimed by Governor Soe, promised to be more open and transparent. Last month, though, she also told GBH that she doesn't need to file that legislation in her office and that her office would remain exempt. So a little bit of a twist there. But she did say she would have a lighter touch, seemingly indicating she'll release more. At the same time, Healey's office released a policy on the handling of public records. And I want to know, Todd, what is in that policy, that policy that she released? Anything new?
Honestly, it's very similar to the position from past governors who said, we believe that we're completely exempt from the public records law, but we're going to consider requests on a case-by-case basis. Hers looks a little more positive from a transparency standpoint in saying that we are going to try to follow the public records law and generally release what we believe is public, but it doesn't have the force of law. So if she claims an exemption, if she claims that certain records are not covered by the public records law and somebody else doesn't agree, it's very difficult to sue the governor's office. You would have to get past the argument that they're completely exempt from the public records law.
You just have to take her word for it at this point. It's really, it's not legally backed, and that's kind of the part that we keep going to. But Beth, can I bring you in and ask, Maura Healey was attorney general before then. Do you have a sense of how open she was as attorney general and if she'll maybe have the same level as governor?
You know, we had a decent time dealing with her office. Oftentimes it would seem like they were trying to be helpful, but there were a lot of records you couldn't get. For instance, sometimes you'd want details on consumer complaints and you could get sort of total numbers but not really get the complaints. And another thing for folks to remember is because she was the lawyer for the state and state entities, it meant that she was in the position of protecting various entities from releasing their information. Mm-hmm. One example, when we did a story about bad health care in the jails and people were dying in our county jails, sometimes sheriffs would be sued. Well, the AG is the lawyer for the sheriffs. So when you would try to find out what large settlements taxpayers were paying for to pay out sheriffs, the AG would withhold that information. Now, that's, you know, that whether this is the kind of thinking that is going to be going into the governor's office, we don't know yet.
Yeah, it's unclear. So, Justin, is there a danger in letting what gets released or not up to the person whom the public records are about? And I want to know if you've seen cases where officials have adjusted or withheld records that should have been damaging to themselves or their official reputations.
Yeah, so I think it's important to remember that these public record laws are extremely valuable to all of us because they provide the level of transparency we need to understand how our government is operating and whether it's working in our best interest. And I mentioned earlier that Massachusetts and Michigan are the only two states where we're having this issue of governors being exempt or claiming to be exempt from public records law. And I think what's happened in Michigan in recent years is a cautionary tale as to what might happen here. And it goes back to the Flint water crisis. To this day, crisis began 8 years ago. To this day, there still has not been a public accounting of what the governor in that state knew at the time, the decisions that the governor made during that crisis. And granted, a crisis of that magnitude hasn't happened here, and hopefully it won't. But that said, we're only a couple years out from the height of the pandemic. We had a governor, Governor Baker at the time, issuing executive orders. And because we have governors citing Lambert, saying they're exempt from the public records law, we're really at an information deficit as to why in that case did the governor make the decisions that he did? Why were these executive orders issued? And moving forward, if we ever do find ourselves in another crisis, we're really going to have a difficult time understanding why our governor is making the decisions that she is and moving forward from there.
I just want to bring our audience up to speed. We're talking about accessing public records in Massachusetts with two of our WBUR investigations reporter, Beth Healey and Todd Wallach, along with Justin Silverman, who is the executive director of the New England First Amendment Coalition. Todd and Beth, let me go back to you because I'm wondering, it's still early in the year, but have you already requested public records, Todd?
I did. I requested a few records from the governor's office, including calendars from her first 2 days in office, which she provided. There are some gaps, so I don't know if she just had free time in the schedule or if they withheld some details. Also asked for some of the legal bills for law cases that the governor's office have been involved in, and she also provided those. So that is a really good sign. But getting back to her record as attorney general, she also defended state police when state police refused to release police reports and records of police troopers who were accused of drunk driving. So there may be cases where her office in the future claims that records are exempt under parts of the law and people disagree. And again, there's not much ability to sue the governor's office as long as the governor's office is considered completely exempt.
I say this with the utmost respect and admiration, but yes, absolutely. Todd Wallach and Beth Healey are both thorns in the side of administrations because they request so many public records, but that is what good journalism is all about.
I can also give you a good example of how records from the governor's office would have been helpful in the past. So years ago when I worked for the Boston Globe, I wanted to know who served on state boards. I was curious if it's all the same people, if it's friends of the governor. The governor's office, it was Deval Patrick at the time, refused to give me the full database of who's on each state board, and there's 700 of them. And they said, instead, they pointed me to 700 separate lists. So it was really hard to make sense of it. I wound up having to write a computer program that downloaded all 700 separate lists, parsed it and pulled it into a spreadsheet and analyzed it. And when I did that, I wound up finding that a third of the people on state boards weren't there. They were vacant, or they were people whose terms had officially expired long ago. At least one was dead. And I found it had a huge consequence that mattered for people. There were boards that weren't meeting month after month after month, so people couldn't get licenses. They couldn't get rulings on disciplinary cases. There were other boards that were meeting without a quorum, illegally, so all of their decisions could have been challenged.
So can I bring you in, Justin, and say, you touched a little bit upon this, but I want to ask you, just to clarify for people who aren't, you know, journalists or specifically deal with, like, First Amendment in Massachusetts, but why is having a transparent public records law important?
Right. Thanks for asking that. That's a really important question, and one that I think everyone should understand, that this isn't a journalism issue per se. Yes, journalists very much take advantage of the public records law and use it for their work, but this is an issue, a bipartisan issue, I should mention, that affects everyone in this state. The decisions of the governor affect all of us, and we all as citizens and residents of Massachusetts need to know why those decisions are being made. These are government officials that represent us, are working on our behalf, or should be. And the only way that we can make sure that they're making good decisions and representing our interests well is to know why they're making the decisions they are, to understand the data that might be backing a particular policy that's being proposed, to understand the communication that's occurring before these policies are proposed or actions are taken. And without that information, without a strong public records law that provides us the documents and information we need to get that insight, we're left in the dark. We're left with secrecy, quite frankly, and we're not going to be able to have the understanding of government that we need and that we're entitled to.
Justin Silverman, thank you so much. Justin is the executive director of the New England First Amendment Coalition. I really appreciate you being here to talk about this.
Thank you.
And then also with us were Beth Healey, WBUR investigations reporter, along with WBUR investigations reporter Todd Wallach. Thank you so much also for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.